The recording has started. You may now begin.
Great. Thanks, Maria. Well, welcome, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to you all. Welcome to the review of all rights protection mechanisms and all GTLDs PDP working group call on the 5th of December, 2018. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on the audio bridge today, would you please let yourself be known now?
Rebecca Teshnet, audio only.
Thanks, Rebecca. We have noted that. All right, and as a reminder to all participants, if you would please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will hand the meeting over to Kathy Kleiman. Please begin.
Hi, all. This is Kathy. Thanks for joining us at our, you know, still fairly new time, Eastern time. And we have now 15 participants, which is great, and hopefully more to come. Let me pause first for our usual statements of interest. Okay, hearing none, what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about the agenda today and an overview of why we're doing it this way. So, and then staff will be presenting some documents that they've spent an enormous amount of time on. But what I want to do is take you back in time to January 2018, when we launched our request for proposal for Sunrise and trademark claims surveys. And that's when we halted our work on the Trademark Clearinghouse as we waited for data and began our work on the Uniform Rapid Suspension. A few teams continued, like the data subteam working with the analysis group, but most of us halted our work on trademark claims, Sunrise, and the Trademark Clearinghouse itself, and waited for this data. So now we need to go back. And the question is, how do we go back to the work that we did a year ago and 2 years ago? And staff has been doing a lot of work, and co-chairs have been providing input to try to find these summaries that help bring us back in time and help us remember our final list of revised questions for Sunrise, our final list of revised questions for trademark claims, and what data we had collected along the way. The not-too-surprising conclusion from all of this is at the end of the meeting, we're going to be asking for volunteers to join the trademark claim subteam as well as the Sunrise period subteam. Based on suggestion, and that's based on our discussion last week and support for that last week, and also the suggestion that we segment what would have been a third working group, which would have been the trademark claims, kind of looking at the provider, looking at the structure, looking at the rules. We did a lot of work on that. In fact, even more work in the past. We had some draft proposals. We had kind of pushed that one particularly forward before we broke to work on URS. That we're going to hold. We're not dividing into a subteam for that. That will follow the work of the subteams on trademark claims and Sunrise, because the suggestion was made last week, and the leadership team, the co-chairs, agreed that there may be suggestions coming in from trademark claims and Sunrise subteams that impact the structure of the trademark clearinghouse. So if we do it all in parallel, we may miss that or have to double back. So again, right now we're dividing up into trademark claims and Sunrise, but we'll come back to trademark clearinghouse structure. So staff has done an enormous amount of work, and I'll give you an overview of the agenda items because they're kind of our guide to diving back into our work of a year ago. Actually, first, the timeline is going, the draft RPM timeline is going to take us out to the future. What does our work look like going forward? The status of TMCH and related RPM discussions is going to take us backwards. This is a timeline on various subjects, including the TMCH data, including trademark claims and Sunrise. And this will take us back to show us where we were, what our timeline was, what we worked through, as well as links to the documents and the data that we collected. Then the table, that we have two tables, the tables of final agreed Sunrise charter questions and the table of final agreed claims charter, trademark claims charter questions, lay out where we stopped. We had worked extensively on these revised charter questions, and then, you know, this is our starting point for now. is what these charter questions are, and staff has done an awesome job of putting together some of the data, or most of the data, or all of the data, perhaps, that we collected on this that we'll be referring to. And these summary tables, which we'll get to after we look at the timelines, will kind of they're kind of the format for what we start filling in the two subteams to be created. And then, of course, the new data, the Trademark Sunrise and Trademark Claim Survey Results Tool, and we'll talk about that more extensively when we get there, but staff has really tried to massage the data, not change it, but put it in a form that's easily usable for us, which I totally appreciate. So that's the overview, is again, we're trying to dive back in time, but first I think staff is going to take us forward in time to look at the timeline. Let me pause and see if there are any questions. And as we review these tables, of course, if you have questions, if you think there's more that needs to be there, let us know, and the documents will, of course, be open for the next few days. George, go ahead, please.
George Quirkos, the transcript. I had several concerns about the draft timeline, so I don't know if now is the right time to raise them, or should I wait until people scroll down to the December and January parts of that document that's on screen right now? And were you planning to review that first? Or?
Yes, we're going to review that first. Staff, I'll let Julie respond. But, George, thank you for asking. I would think it's more appropriate to do it after staff presents. I was just giving an overview. Mostly it's going to be staff today walking us through these documents and providing an overview. So perhaps, and it looks like Susan has questions too. So let me turn it over to Julie, but let's hold the questions till after that the presentation of the document. Thank you. Julie, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Kathy. This is Julie Headland from staff. And yes, the staff suggestion is that perhaps once we run through the timeline, then maybe that will help with some questions that people have. But at any rate, of course, we will allow time for questions. So this timeline, the last time you would have seen a timeline, it would have been updated in August of 2018. So now we have an update that we've just done as of December 3rd. And we'll just note again before we dive into this that this, again, is what we would consider a best-case scenario, plausible but aggressive. But we do, staff does think, and the co-chairs as well, think that this reflects a more realistic estimation of the work that will be required to complete phase one of the PDP. We will note that and staff in presenting this to the co-chairs also noted that it's still aggressive, and if there is any slippage, then you know that certainly can change, and that would especially be true when we get to the point we'll show you here shortly. If we do get a voluminous number of comments to the initial report, there's probably going to need to be more time to analyze those comments. Right now, we have a fairly short time frame for analysis of the comments that may not actually be sufficient. So I'm not going to go through all of where we've been, but quickly, you can see that looking at August, we have the development of the surveys and the testing of the surveys, and then we have the surveys going out, if you're just scrolling, I'm right in September or October time frame. It's been unsynced, so you're welcome to go ahead and go through it. But bringing us from August through the fall, the surveys, Sunrise and Clade surveys went out. They came back. We had ICANN 63, where we finished up on the URS. And then we had a refresher on the 14th of November on the TMCH operational features, technical and operational features. And then we had analysis group on the 28th of November running through the responses to the survey and bringing us to today, where we're going to discuss the formation, scope, and role of Sunrise and Claims subteams and the revised phase one timeline. So as we move ahead, the next anticipated steps are for as Kathy said, two sub-teams to be developed, Sunrise and Claim sub-teams, to begin analysis of the survey results against the refined charter questions, the final refined questions, and we were anticipating three meetings for that work. And we'll just note, we're showing the number of meetings and showing, you know, in this, in blue, you'll note where we've indicated that the sub-teams are completing their work. The sub-teams are anticipated to meet simultaneously using this time slot, although if sub-teams wish to choose a different time slot, they can while noting that we would have to avoid conflicts with other groups. This is, we think, an aggressive schedule for the analysis of the survey results. That is in three meetings, brings us into early January. Then we begin the analysis of previous collected data, and some of that actually had already been looked at by the working group, so we're anticipating that might go a little bit more quickly in two meetings. Then we're looking at the beginning the development of preliminary phase one recommendations, again, in a sub-team. And also by January 23rd is where I'm looking right now. There'll be a deadline for individual proposals to be submitted to sub-teams. At least that is as suggested. Moving from January 23rd, we had two meetings to do the preliminary development of preliminary phase one recommendations. Again, this is quite aggressive, and we note here that we might need longer meetings or additional meetings to finish this work. And then beginning on the 6th of February, we have sub-teams looking at individual proposals. And two meetings for that, and again, that may require longer or additional meetings. That goes through the 13th of February, the 20th of February. We have then the sub-teams presenting the recommended potential Sunrise and Claims policy proposals and operational fixes to the working group for discussion, and the working group discussing those on the 27th of February, followed by working sessions at ICANN 64 to finalize the Sunrise and Claims recommendations. And then we have either the working group or sub-teams going through the open TMCH issues, and we've got two meetings for that. And then moving to on April 8th, the working group discussing potential TMCH recommendations at two meetings. And then by 22nd April, the working group to begin a review of all potential phase one recommendations as well as remaining issues. We have two meetings for that. Again, that's quite aggressive. And then we have staff circulating an initial report as of May 6th, the working group to begin the review of this report and to finalize that initial report by 27th of May. Again, a very aggressive schedule. We're noting the possible need for longer or more meetings, and then publishing the initial report for public comment on June 3rd. And beginning a mandatory minimum 40-day public comment period. Note that this timetable does not take into consideration an extension of that time period. That, of course, would change the schedule. And in the interim time, while comments are coming in, we're suggesting preparation for phase two could begin and also continue at ICANN 65. And then in July, we have four meetings to review public comments. That is an extremely aggressive schedule, and if we do get a voluminous number of public comments, that could definitely change. And then we have the sub-team presenting results to the full working group of that analysis, and the working group discussing recommendations. That's in August. And then the formal consensus call, August 19th, reviewing any substantive changes in August and into September with finalizing the substantive changes in the final report on the 9th of September and signing off on the final report on the 16th of September. And I'll just note in the chat, as Mary says, to highlight Julie's point, this is a best-case scenario that is nevertheless very aggressive. It does not take into account further slippage or other factors unknown at present. And as just noted, it does not take into account how many public comments and how many we have and how much time they will need to analyze. And then the number of preliminary proposals that the working group would decide on to put into the initial report. So I'm going to stop there and turn things back over to you, Kathy.
Great. Julie, thank you, and thank you and everyone who worked on this table. Now let's open for questions. George, I think you're first. Go ahead.
Thanks, Kathy. George Krikos for the transcript. Yeah, I had three main concerns. If we look at the fourth column of this table, throughout it says that the subteams are going to have simultaneous meetings, which is something I disagree with because in particular last week we discussed the fact that membership of the subteams would be open to everybody and people could participate in both subteams. That was like one of the highlights of last week's call. However, having the meetings be simultaneous means that it prevents active and meaningful participation in both the subteams, which severely disadvantages especially the smaller participants that don't have multiple employees participating in this working group. So I think the solution to that would be to either have the meetings be non-overlapping being on different dates, and we're helped by that because I can publish a consolidated timetable, which I posted a link to in the chat room, which shows that there's lots of dates that where nothing is scheduled. And the alternative solution would be to take advantage of the fact that we already have been using an APAC-friendly time slot and a regular time slot, i.e. the 17 o'clock UTC time, 12 o'clock noon Eastern time, and the 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern time slots. So the other alternative then would be to have one sub-team meet at 8 a.m. Eastern time and the other sub-team meet at 12 noon Eastern time, and then just flip back and forth week to week so that, you know, if the claims group meets at 8 o'clock 1 week, they would meet at 12 o'clock noon Eastern time second week. And so that would ensure that participants can be in both sub-teams and not be disadvantaged. Second concern I had was on the actual time slot in the third column. It says on January 2nd, 2019, that was the date where the submission period for individual proposals would begin. And then on January 23rd, the individual proposals would be submitted. The deadline would end for those submissions on January 23rd. That made no sense to me because the sub-teams are still analyzing all the data until the 23rd. And so you're having the proposals be submitted before the complete analysis of the data has taken place. So that's like putting the cart before the horse. Obviously, you'd want to have complete analysis of the data first and then develop recommendations based on that analysis. So I think those need to be shifted in terms of the dates. On the third...
George, can we stop at two, just because it's opening up questions? Can we just stop there, because I'm
I'll lose track. Point, though. Yeah.
Okay, can you come back in the queue for the third point? Because let me respond and open this up to the working group. Is that okay? Okay. So and then Susan, you're definitely in the queue, and we'll consider George back in the queue. But I want to open this up to a larger discussion as well. I'd love to know what other people think, because this is we're really trying to do. Last week we heard several things. One was the desire to go into sub-teams for trademark claims and Sunrise. There was a suggestion of putting them in different time slots, but in general we've been most successful when we've worked in parallel. And this is how the URS did it. Sub-teams held additional meetings occasionally, but in general we worked in parallel. This is a slot that is reserved, you know, by staff, by members, and we worked in parallel in this slot, and it worked really well. What we did hear also was another suggestion, and you'll see it incorporated in January 9th and then someplace else, and is that the sub-teams brief the full working group. In this case, it says brief working group plenary meeting to receive sub-team progress report. So the idea was to keep the sub-teams keep the working group, the whole working group, informed over what the sub-teams were doing. So that was kind of the suggestion that the co-chairs went with and incorporated into the schedule. Would love to know what other people think. And then in terms of individual proposals, also, again, experimenting with somewhat of a new idea, but it came up last week in the meeting, which is that it would be useful to have the sub-teams vet the individual proposals because the sub-teams will be up to date on the data, they'll be up to date on the issues. So not for the sub-teams to vote the individual proposals up and down, but to provide input and an analysis would be really, really useful, and they'll be kind of at the perfect point in their work to do that. And so the hope was that the briefings of the full working group would then help the individuals prepare their proposals, and that we wouldn't wait till the end of the sub-teams. Again, this is something that came up last week. So would love to know what people think. We'll go into Susan and then back to George. Susan, please.
Thanks, Kathy. It's not in relation to the points George was making, however, so I don't know if you want to have people to weigh in on that point first.
To George's two points, I would love that, just to keep those two threads and then come back to your point and to George's additional point.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Thanks. So I'm going to look at the chat room. So Brian says that, as he said on our prep calls, which he did, the updates are a great idea, and we're not sure, but whoever's idea it was is free to take credit in the chat. There's nothing to prevent a sub-team from picking a separate time and date, as staff noted, but that would have to be a time and date non-conflicted, and not everything may be on the calendar you've posted, right? And I should note that people who are involved in SubPro, and there are people here, there's three sub-teams meeting there, and so that's really busy, the SubPro working group. And then George mentions that again, our Asia-Pacific time at 8 a.m. Eastern is still available. So Zach says, would it be possible to participate in more than one subgroup if the sub-teams met at the same time? No. The idea, Zach, is that we would do what we did last time with the URS providers and documents and practitioners sub-team. The vision is that we divvy up and do this in parallel and then have our peers kind of report back to us about what they're thinking, but that we only take on basically, in this case, half the work. And Brian, to George, could you expand on why you think the sub-team scope expanded? They were there to propose operational fixes, and they did not eclipse the ability. That looks like a different issue. So does anybody – so let me ask, again, the idea that the leadership team, the co-chairs and staff are positing is that we divide into Sunrise and Claim sub-teams. They work in parallel, probably in the slot that we have now, which everyone has on their schedules, and they report back to the sub-team, to the full working group, and then they receive towards the end of their schedules, which is in January, they receive additional proposals from individuals who might have things to add. Zach, it looks like you're commenting on this, so go ahead, please.
Thank you, Zach Moskovich. So what I'm concerned about is that if we're only able to participate in one subgroup, would that kind of encourage people who aren't in one subgroup to be compelled to make personal proposals down the road? So in other words, if people were actually able to voice and express their proposals within the subgroup, and they're dealt with either by way of support or non-support within the context of the subgroups, that could, in my view, eliminate people having to make proposals outside of the context of the subgroup. So it's something to consider. But in any event, after this call, regardless of the way it works, I'm still going for lunch, for sushi lunch. So it's not a huge issue for me.
Hold on a second, Zach. So are you saying you support being able to be part of two different subgroups? Because what we were thinking is that just is kind of a ridiculous, a lot of work to ask of somebody. And so that divvying it up the way we did with the URS might make sense.
The subgroups notion is attractive to me because it does divide up the work, and by not allowing people to join two subgroups, it makes the subgroups smaller and arguably more. But on the other hand, if there's people that have contributions to make to both subgroups, and so if there's no effective way for them doing that, then it seems to me that the effectiveness of the subgroups is somewhat depleted because people are going to have to make individual proposals outside of the context of the subgroup. So I see upsides and downsides to it.
Great. Thank you. Phil, go ahead, please.
Thanks. Phil, for the record. I'm just the co-chairs in discussing this, I think you can see where no one's happy that we're looking at going into past the middle of next year on wrapping up phase one, but that's the reality of the work remaining. We do, and the prior timeline we all acknowledged was not realistic, the one that envisioned everything being done by the full working group. So based on what we thought was a fairly successful outcome for Division of Labor on the URS sub-teams, we decided it would be more efficient and would bring the final the finish line a little bit closer if for these two RPMs, not the underlying trademark clearinghouse they're based in, we divided up the work between two sub-teams. Now, Zach, your question was, can someone be on two sub-teams if they're meeting simultaneously? Well, that's a physical impossibility. I would note that, you're counsel to ICA. ICA has other board members and other members on this working group. Certainly ICA, not you personally, could have a presence on more than one sub-team. I don't think we ever said no one can be on one sub-team, but we really need to check with staff whether there's a practical way for the sub-teams to meet at different times. If there is, and if someone wants to serve on more than one and do that level of work, that would be fine. We're thinking about two significant changes from the way the URS sub-teams were. One would be this regular reporting. Let's say if the sub-teams meet on Wednesday, we would want them to deliver a short summary report to the full working group by close of business Friday on what they discussed and what they concluded at that Wednesday meeting. So we keep the full working group fully informed, we give them some number of weeks for individuals to submit their own proposals. We saw with URS, the sub-team tended to report out consensus data-based recommendations for operational and policy change, and then individuals had other ideas and submitted those. And all of this, whatever the sub-teams do, both in recommending consensus recommendations and giving us some analysis of an individual's recommendations, all of that comes back to the full working group. Nothing is final in terms of what's going to be put out for public comment in the initial report until the full working group gets a chance to discuss and decide on the sub-team output. So I'll stop there, but I hope that explains our thinking a bit more and how we're hoping this will work. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. And Phil, of course, reports so well the discussions that the co-chairs have been having with staff. It looks like Julie would like to comment on this. And I just want to say I think Christine may have kind of the golden solution. Run the sub-teams in parallel and people can decide to join one or more. Julie, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Kathy. This is Julie Hedlund from staff. I would note, based, just one note on Christine's suggestion, I think she says she supports the parallel work, but not calls scheduled on top of one another, so I think not calls scheduled at the same time. So staff will note that certainly we could have two subteams meeting at different times, but meeting in parallel, meaning both meeting in the same week, and use the times that we already have, the time slots that we have that are non-conflicted, which is the 1300 UTC and 1700 UTC times on Wednesdays. We did also have a time, I think 1700 scheduled on Fridays, that we were using for the data subteam work, but that would make the reporting out on Friday to the full working group somewhat problematic. So, we could use the already agreed upon slots. The only caveat to that is we would need to have enough participation. So we'd have to make sure that enough people could meet at those times, and we might just have to see how that works. Staff notes that in the a sub-pro PDP working group, there are subgroups that are meeting, and sometimes those have been a challenge in getting enough participation. So if we're going to split things that way, we'll have to see how that works. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm going to note that being a participant in the sub-pro working groups, it's hard to track because they do go back and forth in time. I personally think the best way to keep the vast majority of people in our working group engaged is to stay with our current time for both sub-teams, but that's a personal opinion. So please continue writing things into the working group. I also think that the Friday proposal, I think what Phil said about the Friday reporting, it could be close of business Monday, not a problem, and Phil notes that also in the chat. The idea is just that kind of regular reporting back, even just that the sub-team's in progress and what they're working on, what they're looking at. So it looks like we're going to move on to we're going to look for, again, comments in the chat for where to go with this and how people would like to handle it in their own schedules. To new issues, Susan and George. Susan, please.
Yeah. Hi, Kathy. Thanks. It's Susan Payne. Yes, it's just a quick one. And I need to find the right page on the document now. If we go to June 2019, I'm not sure if this is sort of a holdover from something in previous versions of this timeline. But on the 3rd of June, we have the initial report for phase one being published for public comment. And on the 10th of June, proposed that we should start the preparation for phase two, the UDRP refresher. Then we'll have a gap of no meeting, for, I think we've been given a week, and then we'll go into the ICANN meeting, where we'll be doing, I'm assuming, a little bit of work on phase two. That's what it refers to. Then we have the gap of a week when we come back from the ICANN meeting, and then we go into reviewing the public comments on the initial report on phase one. It seems to me to be completely pointless, frankly, to start work on the UDRP, to start work on phase two, in the middle of that period between publishing the initial report and then going back and spending months reviewing the comments and finalizing the phase one report. I think by the time we've got the initial report out, I imagine that many of us will be ticked to death of being in this working group and could do with a bit of a big break. But also, we'll start work and then we'll pause it again for months. It seems to me to make no real sense. And I'm not sure what the thinking was, but I'm hoping that it's sort of inadvertent rather than an actual belief that we should start phase two before we finish phase one. The other point I wanted to make is that, of course, the URF and the UDRP are obviously different, but we all know, and particularly in relation to the individual proposals, there's overlap. Some of the individual proposals on the URS are referencing the UDRP as well. It also seems to me to be crazy to start thinking about the UDRP until we've actually reviewed the comments on the URS, because they have some interrelation.
Susan, thank you. This is Kathy, of course. I I can see what you're thinking. It's completely mind-boggling to think about going to phase two and then coming back to phase one. The thinking here was that we didn't want to waste any time. And the publication of our initial comments on June 3rd does lead us directly into the next ICANN meeting, wherever ICANN 65 is, and I haven't looked that up. So I think the idea was to use those face-to-face meetings to begin to lay the groundwork for phase two. But staff is taking notes. We should definitely take this back to the leadership team and try to figure out what will whether this makes sense. We also may have events may overtake us in that it may take, as staff pointed out, may take a little longer to review some of the initial comments. But kind of the best use of working group time. So what I'm going to do is table this for a little bit because I don't, you raise an awesome point. And we will take it back to the leadership team. Julie, is that a new hand or an old hand?
And Kathy, that was just a note. A couple of the points that this is Julie Hedlund from staff that staff had put in that really this was a kind of placeholder. It's up to the work group whether or not you want to throw in a little bit of work on UDRP or to take a break. It's really there as a placeholder, and it's up to the working group to decide. Or it may be that the timeline slips and we may not have a need for that. So and just another note too that just to remind folks that that ICANN 65 is the policy forum, so it's a much shorter meeting. So we won't have the usual several sessions that we have at the longer meetings. It might be more just one session. So just noting that as well. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Julian. Noting that Phil says that the UDRP discussion could be on how to structure phase two rather than starting actual work, kind of organizational rather than substantive. So important things to think about. George, go ahead, please. New point, I think.
Yeah, George Kirkus for the transcript. Just to comment on some of the prior points that were raised responding to my first concerns. I guess the issue of simultaneous meetings has been kind of resolved that they won't be overlapping, and so people can participate in both. And it's still unclear to me about the individual proposals being submitted before the full analysis of the data, because that still doesn't make sense to me. So it seems that those should shift. But my third point was how in this phase of our work, we seem to be deviating from what we did for the ERS. In terms of the individual proposals. Here it seems that the sub-teams are being empowered to go through all the individual proposals rather than having it be presented to the plenary, to the entire working group. And that seems to be giving a lot of power to the sub-teams. And it's unclear if, you know, that'll become a mechanism to block individual proposals from being presented to the in the initial report for public comment. So that's something of concern to me, that the plenary isn't being consulted for those individual proposals like it was last time for the URS proposals. Thank you.
Good point, George. And that's there is this tension between having the individual proposals presented and shared with kind of these, you know, now expert sub-teams by the time they finish all their work versus the full working group. And this was done, I think, purely for an efficiency point of view because we are on this tight timeline, and it was thinking that this might both provide more input and insight and background to an individual proposal while still giving individuals the opportunity to present their proposals, as well as save us some time with not having the working group deal with all these directly. But I welcome discussion on this from the working group. What do people think? You know, do you like the new version or the old version? I see Susan and Brian are in the queue, so let me go to Susan and then Brian. Susan, please.
I'm going to defer to Brian, and I will just follow him if he doesn't cover what I would say.
Sure, sounds great. Brian, please.
Thank you, Susan. This is Brian Beckham for the record. Yeah, Kathy and Phil and Mary and Julie, you guys will all know that I raised a similar concern on some of our prep calls that George had raised. And one idea that I had to possibly address that would be to ask people, because if everyone remembers, we had already done quite a lot of looking at TMCH-related issues before we moved over to the ORS. There were proposals, for example, to address some concerns around gaming and sunrises, et cetera. So my idea to address that, George, was that we ask people to kind of get their proposals on the table early, not to say they couldn't do that later, but to, you know, give people an opportunity to feel that their proposals have been fairly heard by the subteams if we want the subteams to look at those individual proposals. Thanks.
Right. Thank you, Brian. And we had also discussed in the co-chairs meeting that it is hard to prepare an individual proposal until you know where the sub-teams are going, because some of the idea of the individual proposals is kind of filling holes that or issues that you don't think have been addressed by the sub-teams. Or once you look at all the data, some individuals are saying there's a different way to look at that, or perhaps to propose a different operational fix or policy recommendation. So I see it on both sides, but the way we propose, we think we'll streamline it a little bit faster. But yes, the individual proposals I think would be presented to the sub-teams, not to the full working group. Question is how people feel about that. Susan, your hand is still raised, so go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you. I feel pretty fine about presenting the individual proposals to the sub-teams. I think, you know, you've made a good point, which is that, or I think it was you that made it, that you know, we've done, unlike the URS, when we convened those working groups, we have had a conversation about these other RPMs before we had to pause our work. And so it's not as though we haven't already been talking about some of these issues. So that would be one of the points. I think people already have, you know, we've already done a lot of the background discussion, and I think the notion that individual proposals get surfaced at an early stage is a really helpful one. And indeed, I think it could actually assist in a bit more buy-in to those individual proposals, because if you think about the way we handled this in the URS, basically, you know, individual proposals got sort of raised on a call. There was, you know, a smattering of discussion. And some of those with a bit more focus and attention paid to them might have actually become more than individual proposals and have gained, you know, a degree of support. So I think it's actually beneficial. But I would also say that I think, you know, generally I think we've slightly – I personally didn't really anticipate that we were going to have individual proposals in relation to URS. I think we talked originally about starting URS and looking at very much the kind of the sort of procedural type fixes that we could do, and that's why we set those three and my understanding, and clearly I was wrong, or else the plans changed, but you know, I didn't think we were going to get into the detail of some of the things that then eventually surfaced as individual proposals, because we talked about trying to streamline the work on the URS and cover the stuff that we could cover quickly, and then moving on to a, you know, to a more detailed discussion in phase two where it seemed appropriate. And yet, you know, at a later point, suddenly some of those things that perhaps should have been moved into that phase two discussion ended up coming back as individual proposals. So I think we're handling these trademark claims, Sunrise and the TMCH, in a slightly different way. And again, makes far more sense to be trying to deal with it in the subgroup context, which doesn't mean that work doesn't all come back to the full working group. It does. But it comes back in the knowledge that there's been, you know, a robust and sensible conversation and a degree of agreement has been reached, and that we don't, when we come back to the full working group, have to relitigate issues all over again when they've been already given substantial airtime in the subteams.
Interesting. Thank you, Susan. And you know, to the URS point, I'll just say that let me validate what you said, because I don't want to disagree. But in this case, it's a little different with the TMCH because we don't have a phase two of the TMCH. It's not like the kind of interaction depending on how close or how far you see the UDRP and the URF. This is it for the trademark clearinghouse issues, is just phase one. So it closes. And so to join your idea that the subteams, or the idea we were talking about, that the subteams would look at individual proposals, they'd go into the subteams, and George's idea that starting a month before the subteams report out is really hard for individuals because you're not seeing, even with updates, a lot of the work of a subteam comes down to the final days. We know this, right? We know that that's when the recommendations close. The operational fixes, the draft policy recommendations, there's a lot of work that gets done in those final 2 weeks when we're facing a deadline. That's when things really come together, and that's when people really hammer things out. So is it possible, and I pose this both to the working group, but also asking staff to put this for the next leadership, the co-chair's call, to move the submission period for individual proposals to these two sub-teams to be later so that they correspond with the closing or close to the closing of the recommendations so that the individual proposers can work off of that final or close to final material. Let me go to Phil, and then it looks like George's hand is still up, so we'll go to George. Phil, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Phil, for the record. This is a somewhat different approach than we'd used on URS, and we're frankly, as co-chairs, experimenting a bit. We have fairly broad latitude under the working group guidelines to employ subteams under Section 2.3 of the guidelines as an efficient means of delegating topics or assignments. It's also quite clear that the members of the subteam report their results to the whole working group for review and approval. So as I said before, nothing's final out of the subteams. They're just providing feedback to the full working group, which will make final decisions. Now, on I think it makes – I'm sitting personally now. I think it makes sense to maybe move that submission time, but I do think it's important. The whole point here was to get some holistic overview of all the proposals relating to either Sunrise or claims from the dedicated sub-team that's looking intensively at it. So I think we have all individual proposals vetted by the sub-team and have them give us some analysis back to the working group, with the working group making final decisions on both the sub-team consensus recommendations, both operational and policy, and the individual. The sub-team shouldn't be in a position to put an individual proposal over the goal line or kill it in the crib. It's up to the full working group. It's up to the working group. With URS, we had wide open, wide opening for individual proposals. We tried to set some standard for them getting into the initial report. Obviously, it has to be short of consensus, because the consensus requirement is only for the final report, but it has to be more than just one or two people in the whole working group thinking something's a good idea. We kind of abandoned that at the Barcelona meeting, and now everything on URS is going to be in the initial report for public comment. Some people think that's a good idea. Some people think that's like throwing spaghetti on the wall, and since it all stuck, it all gets commented on, and that puts somewhat of a burden on the community to comment on all those things, many of which may never achieve consensus. But again, there's conflicting objectives and values, and it's up to the working group to decide. But personally, I think this idea of having the sub-teams vetting the individual proposals and providing some analysis back to the working group, while it's somewhat different from what we did on URS, it makes sense, and we can experiment with different approaches, and they can inform how the working group tackles the UDRP work in phase two. We don't have the answers in advance. We're just trying to do things that are efficient and set up the same rules for everybody so that they're fair to everybody, and everybody knows in advance what the rules are. Thanks.
Thank you, Phil. And and for fleshing that out, that this is a, you know, this is a slightly different approach. One thing that I'm gathering as I listen to you, as I listen to others, is that the individual proposals will go through for trademark claims and Sunrise will go through the subteams. Mary Wong seems to agree that the dates can be changed. So she writes, these were suggested dates to enable the subteams to have time to consider the individual proposals. They can definitely be changed if the working group agrees. We can also adjust our format a little bit for the presentations of the individual proposals. If we want to, we can allocate some time in the full working group when the subteams report back, maybe to allowing the individual to present the proposal and to having the subteam chair, which, remember, does not have to be a working group. Co-chair, Jason Schaefer, was the subteam chair of the practitioner subteam. So having, you know, and here I just throw it out, having an individual proposer present so that they have that airtime in front of the full working group, short time, and then having the subteam chair respond or comment. So that could be a way to kind of quickly bring us up to speed on individual proposals as well as the subteam recommendations. George, let me go back to you, and I also see that Julie has her hand up. So back to George and then Julie. Thanks. George.
Yeah, George Kirkus again for the transcript. Now, this goes back to an earlier point that Brian asked about regarding, you know, whether the plenary model could even work better than the subteam model if it becomes almost mandatory for members to participate in both subteams. If you look at the schedule, the plenary only meets one time in January, January the 9th, and then the next meeting after that is February the 6th. So if you look at the actual dates that work gets done as an entire working group, you know, it's essentially being shunted to the subteams from now until, you know, I guess March or whatever, with occasional updates to the plenary. And so this goes also to the point that Kathy raised earlier about how people will tend to wait to the last minute to make their individual proposals anyways and not really be following the work of the subteams closely until the very end. So, you know, from a time management point of view, it sometimes, you know, it's kind of slower in some sense to go through it with the entire working group. But because you don't have this duplication of having to communicate back to the entire working group, it can actually be faster because everybody's up to speed, you know, week after week instead of, you know, trying to digest a month's worth of work in one email and tending to ignore that email. So I'm just throwing that out there. Like, I'll go with whichever way people want to go, but I'm not necessarily convinced that the subteams are actually more efficient. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, George. I think the decision on subteams has been discussed, vetted, made. I just want to note, though, that these updates to the full working group, which you'll see on the 9th of January and the 6th of February, as George just pointed out, may not be possible. The idea here was that the subteams were meeting in the regular working group slot and meeting in parallel, and that then we could go into a pre-designated time, maybe 15 minutes before the end of the working group period, we could go and then convene all together, the two subteams coming together with anybody else who wanted to join us from the working group who wasn't part of the subteams, and meet together for a quick update. If we're meeting at different times, this may not work. So just to put a question mark next to these briefings. The briefings may now have to be in writing if we change the times. So let's go to Julie and then the queue. Julie, go ahead, please.
Thank you. This is Julie Hedlund from staff, and just very briefly, if the working group decides that the presentation of the individual proposals would not happen until after the subteams have reported back to the working group, it's possible that that will add time to the timeline. We'd have to work that in and see how that would work, but that's just something to consider. Thank you.
Right. I think in general that we've decided that the individuals will share their proposals with the subteams. What I was doing was just playing around with an idea of how the results of that evaluation might be shared with the full working group. And I think we can kind of take, I don't think we have to decide that now. We can decide that as we get closer. Cynthia, please.
Thank you. This is Cynthia King for the record. Just two quick things. First, I just want to say that this is common practice in business and organizations to split work up between various departments or divisions where folks have expertise and to do deep dives on the material, turn into recommendations and present to an executive group or a board or whatever. This is common best practice. So it doesn't seem like it should be that difficult for us to implement. And then secondly, I think that it's really important that we understand how the process is going to work. There are lots of ways that we can make it easier. So, for example, the weekly updates would be great. I also think that as the sub-teams work through each of the proposals, they could do a list of pros and cons that have already been debated in the working group so that folks can see what the majority and minority opinions were so that they don't have to rehash some of that information over and over. And then finally, another good way, something that Phil did in our sub-team, was to have, when it comes time to do the discussion to a broader group, not the sub-team, but to the broader group, have a person present the pro side, have a person present the con side, and then have questions. That way, you don't have to rehash everything. The person who knows what the pros were, the person who understands the cons, they present, everybody understands, and then there are questions. I just think that that would make things more quick and allow people with expertise to give the expertise. Thank you very much.
Cynthia, I think you've just given the roadmap to the sub-teams. Pros and cons debate, a majority and minority opinion. If our multi-stakeholder model delivers that in terms of a variety of viewpoints as well as expertise, I think that's a great idea, and I hope staff will capture that and put it in light to the materials that go out to the trademark claims and Sunrise groups. It looks like all hands are down, which gives us half an hour to go through the other documents, which staff will lead us through to see what we'll be diving into and what we'll be working on and what the materials are that have been summarized to help us remember what we have and where we've been to make it easier to go forward faster. Julie, I think I'm handing it back to you. What document are you taking us to?
Thank you, Kathy. Actually, I'm going to take us to Mary and turn things over to her. Thank you. Mary Wong, please.
Thanks, Julie. Hi, everybody. It's Mary from staff. And we do have a few other documents that were circulated along with the agenda by Julie that we want to show you today just to be clear as to what they are, what purposes they serve, and, of course, to remind you that they are there for use of the working group and or the sub-teams as applicable. So the next document that you see now in the Adobe Connect room, as the title says, it's basically a summary, and it's a summary of the status of the working group's progress and discussions to date, starting from where the group left off when we completed the initial discussions of the trademark post-delegation dispute resolution policy, I think in late 2016, when we started talking about the trademark clearinghouse, the TMCA structure and operations, and going through to where the analysis group then took us to with the survey results. So essentially, this document covers something like a two-year time frame from late 2016 to just about a couple of weeks ago. And what we've done is that we've structured it into a few different sections, as you see. One is on the TMCH. Another is on Sunrise and trademark claims. And then we've also added a status summary of previous discussions on what we've come to call the additional marketplace RPMs, and a very brief section at the end on the work of the CCT, or the, what do you call it, the Competition Consumer Protection and Consumer Trust Review Team, whose final report is now out, as I think we notified you some time ago. We have done this, like I said, to provide you with a one-place quick summary of where things stand in the working group in relation to each of these sections and each of these RPMs or discussions. We have not arranged them in any order of priority. They are more or less, except for the CCT stuff at the end, more or less chronological. So what you hopefully get from this document is a snapshot of all the discussions that took place, of when subteams were used and for what purpose, when the subteams presented their reports to the working group, what the working group did with those reports, and in particular for Sunrise and Claims, hopefully you also see that the evolution of the discussions within the working group, where you know we started with the list of charter questions that were put in the charter unedited from all prior community suggestions. Subteams took those, worked with them, refined them. The working group discussed those subteam proposals as well as how best to collect the data that you thought would be needed to address those final agreed questions. And of course, like I said, I'm highlighting Sunrise and Claims because part of that data collection exercise became what we did with the analysis group, which was the most recent report that you got. So the only other thing I'll highlight about this document, Kathy, Julie, and everyone, is that at the end of each section, we have tried in a very short notes and conclusions paragraph to summarize where, based on what has occurred in relation to that particular issue to date, where things stand. And so we hope that that section allows the working group to quickly see where and what you can be picking up on the TMCH, on Sunrise, and on Claims. So I think that was really all I thought we needed to say about this document. But if there's time, I'm happy to take questions along with Julie and Ariel.
Mary, this is Kathy. Thank you, so much for this presentation and for this, extraordinarily important document, as well as the notes and conclusions. It's a lot, I think, for everybody to take a look at. So, over the weekend, to look at it, and Mary, I'm sure, let me check if you have any disagreement. If people see as they're reviewing it that they have questions or that they think that something maybe should be added, they should send that to the working group, right?
Hi, Kathy. This is Mary. I mean, as with all the documents that staff prepares for the working group, definitely any questions or should be asked, and any clarifications we can provide, we will be happy to do so. And obviously, things are never perfect. So if we got something wrong or left something out or put in the wrong link or something like that, then we welcome people letting us know that, preferably to the mailing list, so that's all on the record too.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mary. And everyone should just know that Mary, Julie, Ariel have been deep diving through our wiki pages and really, really working hard. It's a tremendous amount of work to put this together because we've kind of seen the co-chairs have seen the evolution of this. So let me pause, see if anyone has any questions. Otherwise, we will move on to the documents we'll be living and breathing for the next few months. The table of final agreed Sunrise Charter questions and data collected, as well as trademark claims. Okay. Back to you, Mary.
And actually, just to be confusing, this will be Julie.
Okay, back to you, Julie. Thank you.
So this is Julie Hedlund from staff, and I've pulled up the summary table of the review of agreed Sunrise Charter questions and data collected, and I've unsynced it for all of you if you want to move it yourself. So what staff envisioned, what staff did here actually was, if you you follow the links in the materials that we've gathered on Sunrise and Claims, in that summary document, you'll note that we've linked to the discussions that happened in June, July, and August of last year, where the working group took the questions that were proposed by the Sunrise and Claims subteams and refined those questions into final refined questions, some of which were used in the DMPM that went to the GNSO Council, others that were pulled out to be addressed by the other data that was collected. And so what we've done here is on the left-hand column, you've got that final list of Sunrise Charter questions, and then and this is a table then to be filled out as the subteam does their work. to indicate the survey results that apply from the sunrise questions in the survey, and then also the relevant data that applies that was reviewed previously, and then for the subteam to indicate based on the data being considered against those questions, then what are possible policy or operational fixes? And so this is to be filled out as the subteams do their work, and I'm not going to, there's no need to run through these questions right now, but that is the gist of the structure of this document. And then most importantly, I think perhaps, is to look at the end of the end of the table, and this has the links to all the data that's available to date. And so this is where we'll go, the subteams will go to look at the data, to go ahead and compare it to the questions that were asked, and see, you know, how the data does or does not answer or address those questions. And you can see there's really quite a bit of data. Just noting, of course, that we'll come to this show you a tool that staff has developed to help the subteams do the analysis of the analysis data. But this this listing here reflects all the data that was collected, and both that and the previously collected and that in the survey results. And then I'll just quickly switch to the.
Actually, Julie, can we ask people if they have questions before we switch the document? It looks like there's some questions in the chat room. So can we go back to that? I also wanted to add just a little commentary, which is that the list of final agreed Sunrise Charter questions, I just wanted to add to what you were saying, Julie, and, you know, just remind everyone of the months we spent working and reworking our original Charter questions to try to make them more fair, more neutral, more balanced. And so you'll see this is kind of the final result that went through not only our sub-team efforts when we divided it up into the TMCH, Sunrise, and Trademark Claims sub-teams originally, but also our work in Johannesburg at the ICANN meeting. And then just to highlight, first, a request for staff in this tremendously wonderful document to please put in page numbers. Page 5 is where data available to date starts. And so we're looking at data available to date. We're looking at staff-compiled summary data. We're looking, in this case at Sunrise, at the International Trademark Association Cost Impact Survey, the analysis group, materials both early and later. And so just a lot of data, a lot of links, and as well as some additional sources that staff found when they went through. But in this case in particular, there might be this might be an area that as people will review, something comes to mind that you remember that was valuable in our public input and other processes and that you think we should add. You don't necessarily have to find the link, although if you do, that's awesome. But, was there other data? Because we spent a long time trying to get data. But staff has done a tremendous job on this. Martin, I see you in chat. Do you want to actually come online? And Mary's saying the list of data sources in the appendix followed the Sunrise and Claims tables that Julie is describing, and they correspond to the chronological data we listed in the last document summary. And Martin is saying, he's asking if this includes appropriate public comment received by the working group. And sorry, it just scrolled off. Received by the working group from ESSAs, ACs, and the ICANN community. So let me ask staff, does this include the public comment that we received from ESSAs, ACs, and the ICANN community? Over to Julie, and then we'll go into the queue. Thanks, Julie.
Thanks very much, Kathy. And I'll just note too, for reference to page numbers, generally we won't use, these are PDFs obviously because they have to be to display in the room. For actually doing the work in the subteams, we'll use Google Docs or Google Sheets depending on what's most useful. So the format then will be a little bit different. As to the question of whether or not Martin's question, does this include the comments that we got back from the SOs and ACs? I believe so. I think we're going to – I'll take that comment back, though. Oh, I see Mary has her hand up because I was not involved at that time. So go ahead, Mary, please.
Thanks, Julie, and thanks, Martin, for the question. It's a good and timely one. And I will say that I think you're referring to the early outreach that every PDP working group is required to do to all the various SOs, ACs, stakeholder groups and constituencies, which this particular working group did do back in, I think, late 2016. And what I'll say here is that we pretty much, received only one, maybe two responses, and those were not data specific. So for purposes of listing the data that you have, they are not in these documents as such, but they are on the record, and staff does have notes of them. And so at the relevant point, we do expect that, and this relevant point I think will probably be when the subteams, since we're using subteams, start to develop their recommendations, that they will be reminded of all other relevant information and input, including letters, correspondence, requests from the board, that sort of thing. Those have not been included in the data tables, but staff does have a record of all of them.
Mary, this is Kathy. Just as a placeholder, would it be useful to include, I'm looking at the document, just a line in the appendix that says all other relevant input and information to be provided? E.g. letters, et cetera, everything you just said. Just put it in there as a placeholder at the very end of the document.
We can certainly do that, Kathy. Thank you.
Terrific. So thank you, Martin. Over to George briefly, because I do, we've got a little less than 15 minutes, and I'd love to get to the other documents. George, briefly,
and it
looks like someone else, Susan, I think, put her hand down. George, go ahead, please.
Yeah, George, quick, so the transcript. On the second last page of the PDF, there's a section saying additional sources suggested previously, as articles from DNS industry and trademark-related blogs, et cetera. I'll put a link in the chat room. That page actually hasn't been updated in over a year. Did somebody actually go through and get the actual articles, or are we going to be collecting that data as part of the subteams? And similarly, for the next point, it says news articles and research on Sunrise and trademark claims from LexisNexis or similar databases. Has somebody actually gone and collected that data, or subteams expected to go through and collect that data? Like, I would have thought that since this was submitted more than a year ago, that somebody would have actually collected it by now. Thank you.
Okay. George, I certainly don't know the answer. Good question. I'll ask Julie and Mary both have their hands up, so I'll let whoever wants to respond. And just a quick note to Susan, is there something you'd like me to read out of the chat room? Just write yes or no in the chat, and I'll go back and grab it. To Mary or Julie, thank you.
Mary, please.
Thanks. And thanks, George, for the question. And yes, we did put that in there because we did want to demonstrate to the working group that we hadn't ignored or conveniently forgotten about that piece of homework. To respond to your question, staff did begin that exercise shortly after the various sources were identified. What happened is that we came up with a lot of hits that were blog posts for the industry blogs that were suggested. There's a bunch of articles, news reports, and so forth. There was a lot. I'll just say that and be direct about it. At that stage, because the working group was considering the needs for data collection, and that became the Sunrise and Claim surveys, as you guys saw, the work that the data subteam and the full working group put into that made the survey really very extensive and asked for anecdotal evidence as well as experiences. So staff has not completed those items, and in fact, we were hoping that we could get more specific guidance based on the survey results as well as what other data was reviewed by the working group between the end of 2016 and now, because, and I'll be honest again, it is a lot of work, and we are not at this point certain that it is really necessary to do all of it, at least not without more specific guidance on what to look for. Thanks for the question.
Terrific. Thank you, Mary. And this is Kathy again. Of course, it hasn't been updated for the last year because we left all this a year ago. But now I vaguely remember that there were articles and news reports on Circle IDs and that we tried to find a place to put them. So I assume if there have been additional articles, blogs, news reports on Sunrise and trademark claims, we would incorporate those. But I think what you're saying is fair, Mary, that this originally came from working group members and the public, and so it's really the job of the working group and others to kind of fill it in, not staff work. But if there are new articles, that's great that we can put them into this material. Brian, go ahead, and then we're going to go back to Julie for presentation of the final two documents in a short period of time. Brian, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on this notion of including blogs and whatever in terms of materials. Look, if people want to use these to form their opinions, I think that's perfectly understandable. But I, for one, and I want to be clear, I'm speaking personally here. I this is a point that I've raised on a number of calls when it comes to a number of different topics. So this could be anything from, what should be the threshold for getting stuff into the initial report for the URS, whatever. But frankly, I'm extraordinarily skeptical of the utility and wisdom of putting whatever sources people want to find to support the work of the working group in the report. Like I say, if people want to use those to inform their own views, I think that's perfectly well understood. But, we can all run out and find a lot of different sources that purport to support our different views. And I think ultimately that's unproductive. And so I want to express the strongest objection to having this become sort of a grab bag of blogs and articles that support a range of different views being put into the initial and final report. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. I think that's very fair. If I remember correctly, and it's hard to go back in time, I think some of these reports actually told us a little bit about actual marks in the Sunrise and people's concerns about them. Something that, it was kind of data-oriented because something had happened specifically involving a Sunrise registration or a trademark claims. So agreed, that we're looking for data here to the extent that we have it. But if some of it's in other places, but thank you for raising your concerns. And back to Julie for our next document.
Thank you. And then just very quickly, you'll note, this is Julie Hedlund from staff. So this table is going to look a lot like the previous table. This is the summary table review of agreed trademark claims charter questions and related data. And here again, we have in the left-hand column the final agreed trademark claims charter questions as they had been refined and agreed to by the working group. And then we have the column for comparing against those, the relevant analysis group claim survey results, and then also the relevant previously reviewed data, and then the column for the possible policy or operational fix recommendations. And then moving on down again, just like the other table, we have the appendix with the data available to date, and it is essentially the same. It's the same data as in the other the data sources as on the other table. The only difference is that there were some definitions that were included on the Sunrise table that subteam had developed. Those don't apply, obviously, in the trademarks claims table.
Thank you, Julie.
Let me pause there.
Yeah. What I'm going to do is urge that we get to the really important Sunrise and Trademark Claims Survey Results Tool and kind of take the discussion from the chat and the discussion we had on the Sunrise table and apply it. So any changes that we're making to the Sunrise and additions, I think we should make them also to the Trademark Claims table. And let me turn it back to you because this is really important, of course, for the sub-teams to know. Go ahead, Julie.
Thank you, Kathy. And actually, since Ariel Liang has developed the table that you see in front of you, the tool for analyzing the Sunrise and Trademark Claims Survey results, I'm going to turn things over to Ariel. Ariel, please.
Thanks very much, Julie. This is Ariel Liang for the record. So the document that you're seeing right now is used to fill the summary table that Julie previously presented. So if you recall, in the summary table for Sunrise and Trademark Claims, there's a column for the working group of sub-teams to fill in the findings or what they think is very useful from the analysis group of survey results. So this tool is to help you go through the survey results. And as we know, that the survey was presented in a final report format with a multiple spreadsheet that include the raw data. So this tool is to consolidate all the information in one place, and you don't need to flip through all different documents and try to find information. And you also may have noticed analysis group, they have highlighted some key findings in the first portion of the report, but the appendix in the report has the complete results. So we have make sure everything is included in this tool, and then you can go through them one by one. And I'm not going to go into detail of this tool, just that you know that you can see that from the, we have a table of content that shows where things are. And then the first part is basically the consolidated table for all results for all different respondent groups, including registry, registrar, trademark owners, and potential and actual registrant. And then the open text findings and other detailed information are in the second portion of this tool, so you can go through them. And also to reiterate, presentation purpose, and we have a Google spreadsheet that will be much easier to review the information, so the font will be bigger and you can flip through different sections using the tabs, so that will be easier for the working group or sub-team to review that. I will finish this right now.
Ariel, this is Kathy. Would it be possible to put the link to the Google spreadsheet, which sounds like it has the raw data, or does it... Well, two questions. First, would it be possible to put the link right at the beginning of this table? And then I have another question.
Thanks, Kathy. I will put the link in the table so everyone can see that. And please go ahead with your second question.
Fantastic. And does, I mean, it's a tremendous, tremendous amount of work. Thank you, you know, so much for living and breathing these survey results in such detail and putting them in format. Does the Google Doc, which I haven't seen, does it include, say, page 2, where you have the, where you're outlining the actual survey questions, the sub-teams draft questions, you know, and ultimately what comes back from the registrants, in this case, the potential registrants. Are these tables in the Google Doc as well, or are these tables here in the summary material?
So, Kathy, this is Ariel. If I understand you correctly, are you referring to the Google Doc that Julie and Mary presented previously, or you're just talking about this one? So, basically, the column you see, like the agreed questions, they're basically the refined charter questions. And then the draft questions from the sub-team, they're the ones included in the RFP when we're asking analysis groups help to develop the survey. So they're basically from the same source, and they're reflected in other documents that Mary and Julie presented earlier. So I hope I answered your question.
No, not exactly. And then I'll go to any other questions if people have them. We're at 128 right now. and Susan says the doc was circulated with the agenda. So, but would we find this exact table? Looks like we use this, the table, say, starting on page 2, that we have to come back to this document to look at that table. And if we look at it on a bigger screen, we'll be able to see it in bigger font, which is kind of where I was going. Let's see. Does anybody...
thanks, Kathy. So just to clarify, this survey analysis tool that I'm presenting now is to be used by the sub-team to fill out the summary tables that Julie presented earlier. It's the two documents that Julie just presented before me. So that's the intent for using this tool to fill out the information on the summary tables. Hope that's clear.
Great. And with adding the link, then we'll know where the Google Doc is, and it sounds like some of the raw data. Terrific. Does anybody have any questions for Ariel? Ariel, let me ask you if, given how amazingly detailed this over 70-page document is, would it be okay for the sub-teams to buttonhole you later with questions they have as they go through this in detail?
This is Ariel. Yes, happy to help and answer other additional questions.
Okay, so sub-teams, you know who to go to. You know who the expert is on the survey data results and how to, and the tools for analyzing them. So please refer out and talk to Ariel. We are at the close of the hour. Should I be I can't really summarize what's going on in the chat room because it's going by quickly. If anybody, I'll give 30 seconds to anybody who wants to summarize what's there. Otherwise, the chat room will be going out to everyone, and everyone will have a chance to read it. So I will pause for a second, but just for a second. And let me thank staff for a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous round of work. If we were all there in person, we would give you a round of applause. Thank you for preparing this material. Everyone, good luck as we go back in to the trademark claims and sunrise period. We will be collecting volunteers. We'll be putting out a call for volunteers and asking for volunteers to come in before the end of the week for the two sub-teams, which look like we're going to be encouraging them to meet at different times. And let me throw out that one may want to meet at 12 Eastern time, one may want to meet at 1 Eastern time, which is our old time slot for those in North America. So just a different option there. And so that call will be going out from staff, so please think about which one or both sub-teams you'd like to join and reach out to others because to respond by Friday because staff would like to set up the sub-team lists and phone calls. And have everyone on those lists and put that information out over the weekend for us so that we, when we reconvene next Wednesday, we will reconvene in the sub-teams. Thank you so much for joining us today, and have a good weekend when the weekend comes. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Kathy. Thanks, everyone, for joining, and this meeting is adjourned. Have a great morning, afternoon, or evening. Bye-bye.